The Lord Buddha was the first one in this world to find the Dhamma that is extremely subtle and refined. Whether a Buddha becomes enlightened or not, the law of nature exists already. But the Buddha found this Dhamma and he revealed it and taught it to us. May you all learn it. Even though the Buddha's body has passed away into Parinibbana a long time ago, yet in terms of Dhamma, the Buddha said that whoever sees the Dhamma sees me, the Tathagata. So the Buddha is in the Dhamma. If we learn about the Dhamma practice, and if our mind has mindfulness and samadhi or concentration that is firm, then in this life, in the present, we will be able to see the Dhamma, because the Dhamma is here already, all around us, or this body of ours is Dhamma already. All around us, or this body of ours is Dhamma already. It has the nature to arise, persist, and cease. But it's just that we have to learn and get to understand it. When we train our mindfulness to be in the present moment, the qualities of sati, recollection, and sampajanya, clear comprehension of oneself, arises. This is a quality of a skillful type that arises in the mind. We look at our mind and we'll see that this mind has thoughts that are skillful and good, and thoughts that are unskillful or bad. It has both types. The thoughts that are bad, that is a mental formation of the unskillful or unwholesome type that proliferates in the mind. If there's not enough peace in the mind, then the mind will run with those proliferations of mental formations. And it's important to note here that the mental proliferations, whether bad or good thoughts, are taken as our thoughts. This mind that receives and knows these mental formations is taken as ours. We take it as ours because of the delusion in the mind. The mind is deluded over the different mental phenomena that arises. So the Buddha taught us to follow and know our mind. Whoever can know and see the mind according to truth will escape Mara's trap. That is, they will escape suffering. So when we look at how we can practice Dhamma throughout our daily life, then we need to see how we can lead our lives so that we can have mindfulness together with our day. Whatever work or activities we are doing, we should try to train in developing mindfulness along with it. The more that we have mindfulness, the closer we get to the Buddha. And when we talk of developing samadhi or concentration, if we have too much of it, the mind will have happiness with samadhi and it will not be interested in contemplating for wisdom to arise. But we should understand the meaning of samadhi that is too much. This is referring more to how the ascetics practiced during the Buddha's time. They developed deep samadhi but didn't use it for the arising of wisdom, like Alara Kalama and Udaka Ramaputta, who were the Buddha's first teachers before he had yet to become the Buddha. They had very deep samadhi and had very refined happiness in samadhi, but it wasn't Nibbana. But if those two teachers had met the Buddha after his enlightenment, then the Buddha would have taken no long time to teach them to attaining to arahantship. They also would have achieved it without much difficulty, as they had already developed samadhi that was very deep. But for some Dhamma practitioners who may develop calm in the mind, have samadhi arise, have bitti, rapture, and sukha, happiness, arise, they may have fear arise as well, that the mind is attached to samadhi already, so they don't want to stay in the state of samadhi for too long. This comes about because one believes that to know the Dhamma in the present moment, one must see the nature of arising, persisting, and ceasing in this present moment. This can happen when one practices following the suttas. That is, one learns and studies according to the suttas, but doesn't understand the true meaning of them. The practice of Dhamma needs to be supported by sila, samadhi, and panya, or morality, concentration, and wisdom, developing together. Like when you sit here, you have sila, or morality, and you try to have mindfulness to know the in and out breath. But sometimes you may listen to Dhamma and might not understand what is being said, but your mindfulness and samadhi is firm. One's mindfulness knows the in and out breath well, and when I finish talking, you may not know what I was talking about, but there is no need to have doubts, because the Dhamma that we have trained in is there already. The Dhamma talk is for us to have mindfulness, samadhi, and wisdom. Our mindfulness is well established to the point that we can't hear the Dhamma talk, or if we did hear it, we don't understand the meaning. But we see the arising, persisting, and ceasing nature. This is the Dhamma that arises right in front of us. May we know it clearly. Make the mind be firm. See arising and ceasing. Stay here consistently until one day the knowing becomes clear. We can see all things in the world as arising, persisting, and ceasing. This is knowing, but it isn't thinking. It's the insight of wisdom, or bhavanamayapanya, the wisdom that arises from one's Dhamma practice, from the cultivating of the mind. It's knowing, it's not thinking. In the beginning, we develop wisdom coming from hearing and listening. Then we think and ponder over it, and we develop understanding to another level. But later on, the true wisdom arises, a clear knowing in the heart. In the world these days, there is so much change and many dangers and disasters happening, many people getting injured and dying. But if our mind is good and beautiful, it will have metta, or loving kindness, that wants all beings to have happiness, to not harm each other. Our mind needs to have metta as a foundation for mental development. A mind constantly imbued with the divine abiding of metta will have a firm sila in the mind. Many of the Thai people have metta as a foundation of their hearts and minds. When our fellow countrymen in Thailand, other people from different countries, or people of other countries around the world have suffering, the minds of the Thai public have metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion. They think of helping all other humans to be free from suffering. When there are disasters or other incidents that cause suffering in Thailand, then people in other countries around the world come to help out. And they come not thinking of receiving any money or payment for their help. This follows that the one who gives will be the one who receives. One who has metta and compassion always will receive metta and compassion from other people as well, in the form of good actions in body, speech, and mind. When one has suffering and problems, we help each other out. We have compassion, because those people have more suffering than we do. They are having problems and difficulties in their lives. Like the soccer coach and children trapped in the cave, we Thai people come to help and sacrifice in order to help them out. Other countries see the sincerity of the Thai people and they gain the feeling that they want to help out as well. They have compassion and want to try to help. Here we can see the minds of the Thai people that are supported with Dhamma. That is, the level of Sila Dhamma, or the level of morality in the mind, is at a good level. This is talking about the majority of people, but of course, there must be people who have prejudice and have a lot of negative thoughts. But don't worry about those people. It is normal to have people like this as well. Even in our own minds, we can see that sometimes there are good thoughts, sometimes we have bad thoughts. This is called mental formations. The good thoughts are mental formations of a skillful quality, and the bad thoughts are of the unskillful quality. they arise and proliferate in the mind. We have to understand that these thoughts are not us and not our thoughts. If our mind has delusion, then we'll take all the good and bad thoughts as ours. When we desire to be a good person, then when good thoughts arise, we feel at ease. But when bad thoughts arise, we don't like it. We don't want it to arise. This is craving. The desire to only want to have good thoughts is craving. And this craving is the cause for suffering to arise. When bad thoughts arise, we have discomfort and fear in the mind. We have fear that our mind will drop to a hell realm because of the bad thoughts. But when we train the mind more and more, we have mindfulness and samadhi that is firm. Then we'll know that we can let go of those thoughts according to nature. If they are good thoughts, then we acknowledge them and we speak and act on them. If they are bad thoughts, we acknowledge them and we don't speak and don't act on them. And we try for it not to arise that much. We try to let go of the bad thoughts and we try to cultivate the good thoughts. The mind of humans have these type of thoughts always. Even those 12 children and their coach trapped in the cave. Many people came to help within Thailand and outside of Thailand. But still here, there were some people who had bad thoughts about their situation. And that is normal. The mind that has metta and compassion is important. If we can help to free the people who have much suffering, then our minds will have happiness and inner contentment. We try to promote all living beings to be free and safe. When they gain freedom and safety, then we have a mind of mudita, the mind that rejoices and gives our anumodana in others' goodness. This quality of sympathetic joy is difficult to have arise because the normal nature of the inner mental defilements is to have a lot of envy and jealousy. It's in the minds of people. The people who we work together with and we get along with, they may do well, and it may be difficult for us to rejoice with them. But we need to train our mind to rejoice with others and to anumodana at others' goodness. The good deeds that we do today, having dana, sila, developing the mind and listening to Dhamma, we rejoice with the others here. And when we have metta and compassion in the mind, then we can help each other out, each person giving a little according to their mindfulness and wisdom. We can see these young kids who go traveling to scenic spots. They went to these caves and fell into dangers. The dangers get more and more every day. We wish that they may escape from suffering, and we have metta and compassion as the foundation of our mind. Sometimes it may be beyond our ability to help, then we give our upekkha or equanimity. Or those that may have done wrong and made mistakes already, we don't further dwell on their mistakes and faults, because we are ready to give our support so that they can stand up again and keep fighting in life anew. Like the teacher who had a student that was a delinquent, but the teacher tried to teach and help them. And from someone who wasn't interested in study at all, they could flip over their life and develop right effort and succeed in life. Or when a mother and father sees their child do whatever wrong, they're ready to forgive them, and they try to teach them to get better. So we try to see all beings, all other people in the world in this way, developing the divine abidings of metta, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity is important. They help us to look after our mind well. They help us to have mindfulness, firm samadhi, and wisdom to arise. So keep learning Dhamma in your daily life and gain a good understanding of Dhamma principles. Have a lot of mindfulness in your daily life so that you'll know and see the Dhamma. You will see the truth of nature that we're supported by. When we see and know this, this is called seeing the Buddha in the present moment, in this very life. May you all grow in blessings.